Hello, and welcome back to the Dungeons & Dragons Podcast UK. My name is Yasmin, and I will be the DM.
Hi, my name's Spencer. I play Caddo Chasseur, a cleric from Gavany, who has a pet dog called Pickle.
Hi, my name is Samantha. I play Laura Greyvale, and she is a sorceress from the province of Nephalia.
Hello, I'm Colin, and I play Quinn de Greymont, a paladin from Flarbon in the province of Gavany.
Hi, I'm Ryan. I play Ogvar Shawfort, a goat-herding, mushroom-seeking ranger from Kessig.
Housekeeping. Just a brief interlude before we get on with this week's pod. Last week's episode 94 and this week's episode 95 were both produced from the same recording session. At the end of that session, we realised that Alora's lovely new spell had held an inconsistency in its application at one point. If this is noticed by anyone and it sticks in your craw a little, then we apologise. Correct spell mechanics and their application are important to us, but you know, it's okay to get things a little squiffy sometimes. That's D&D, guys. We are human after all, and not infallible. Anyway, going forwards, we've got this straightened out for next time, and it's a banger of a spell that Alora is enthralled with. And now, it's time to rejoin the action. Last time, Kuin coordinated Cathars, raced around relaying more messages than the riders of Rohan, and discovered a trio of vagabonds in the vault. With their venture suddenly seeming to have been vanquished by a very vexed paladin looking down on them, a sense of danger and their day heading solidly south was probably pretty much on point. Meanwhile, up in the Holy Heights, in a simply superb showcase of spellcasting, our sorceress plied her craft with deadly precision, creating quite the spectacle. Also on a high, and on Overwatch, Ogvar undeniably left his garden usurpers hung up in the herbage as he delivered a dose of dendrology to Ruth's well-pruned produce patch. Episode 95, Cool Hand Fluke.
Okay, top of the round, catapults. The catapults already being sighted are prepped and ready to go once they've been loaded. The fallen man who was flying in a Strad Air, not the most reputable.
Yeah, the cheap seat with no in-flight meal.
What's the baggage allowance?
None. Only emotional.
Oh, God.
His role has been very quickly replaced. You see the crew chief randomly, he points at a guy in the crowd near the back and he bellows, "Yo, get here now, get on that lever." And he very quickly comes over sheathing his sword as he gets onto the lever. Probably actually the position which needs the least experience to handle the catapult. But very quickly, you see these two people who are loading up the catapult. They heave off another massive chunk of stone. It gets loaded up into the basket. The basket is very quickly torqued and pulled back. And within, you know, it is a very quick turnaround. The crew chief is then giving off the order to fire. And the catapult is fired. You hear the sound of the whistling, whipping sound as arm is released and releases its load again towards the front door. So that is going to do 5, 7, 11 points of damage to the front door. Okay. Yeah. So you all feel this impact judder through the church. Esther, from where she is with the Cathars behind the door, she can see the debris, the barricades they've built up, a couple of the pews tumble over. And Kieran, you can probably hear the sound of tumbling and cracking pews as they're knocked over. If you were stood by the door, you would see it bow inwards and a slight gap appear. This big wooden beam which is holding the door in place, you could hear the sound of cracking and splintering as that too bends and partially breaks now. If you were outside looking in, you would see that the doors, these beautiful oaken doors, have now got massive gouged, clawed strips of wood which is just splintered off and fresh wood underneath where this impact has taken place. And the doors are looking fairly bad now. They're not looking great. You'd say they'll probably survive a bit longer, but from the blows they're taking, it's not going to be a great deal longer. Okay, Kieran, we start off with you. Okay, so looking at these three creatures, these three people in front of you, very scraggly, very unkempt looking, dirty, the moment of kind of shock as you both kind of encounter each other wears off very rapidly. And the one man in front of you, in front of your very eyes, appears to morph. His features become elongated, his facial features become elongated. You see what appears to be some very sharp, thick-looking whiskers sprout from around his mouth, as his hands become kind of clawed and gnarled. He rushes forward at you, dropping his side of the ram, which his companions very easily take up the slack on. And he reaches out with his claws and attempts to claw you.
It's not how I remember Morph. He was a little cute plasticine bloke.
18. And an 8 to hit.
Both miss.
Both miss. Okay. So as he reaches out to claw you, you're able to kind of bring your sword up just enough in time to fend him off. And you see these claws swipe over. They leave this horrific metal screech as he snarls at you and snaps. From behind him, the other male in this group drops his side of the ram, and you hear it clatter to the floor as the woman releases it. She doesn't see any point in holding it. She probably wouldn't be strong enough to hold it on her own. But the ram clatters to the floor as he too bounds forward and attempts to hit you with a scimitar that he pulls from his side.
Is he morphed or...?
No, he still looks mostly humanoid. Plus 6, okay. 21 to hit.
Hits.
Nice. Okay. So, the scimitar does a d6 plus strength. Okay. And he deals, 4-6. 7 points of damage as his blade, he kind of dances around his partner, and he brings the scimitar down, slicing at you and probably leaving a fairly decent gash on your cheek. Okay.
Oh, I've ruined your good looks.
Next up is you, Kieran.
Ah! Oh! Right! Like that, is it?
And the one that's directly in front of me, the were-rat?
Yep.
I take it? I'm going to attack him with my bastard sword.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah. Will a 25 hit?
Yes, it will hit, surprisingly enough.
So that's 5 plus that, plus
don't forget your first,
my extra.
Your first turn bonus, don't forget.
Yep, you will get your
six.
First turn bonus.
So, is that a 7 or a
7?
That's a 7, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a 7.
So that's 12 plus 5, that's 17.
17, yeah.
And then he's going to attack the same one again.
Okay, what hit?
That's plus 10. 22.
Ratty's upset the paladin.
Hits.
4, 5 plus d10.
I have reason to believe Ratty has a very short.
For another hit. 13.
13.
Yeah. So. Swing! 28.
Bloody hell. So that's, was it 17 plus 13 damage?
Yeah.
So that's 30 points of damage?
In total.
Yeah.
Okay.
Splat.
He ain't dead, but describe the massive amount of damage you're going to deal.
I'm going to go.
Oh, right, that is it.
Kewin will take his bastard sword from left shoulder down across to the right underarm.
Mm-hmm.
Raise it and go from right shoulder down to left underarm. Like a cross. Not a Z, a cross.
X marks the spot.
X marks the spot, ready for the stab.
Okay, yeah, so you deal these two massive, massive blows. And this man, this creature, this were-creature in front of you, he staggers back, blood dripping from his mouth as, you have completely broken through his defences. You have sliced him very, very deep to the point where you can see bone across the torso. And he staggers back, gasping kind of blood and gulping blood. He is in a horrendous way just with that first attack. Okay, so next up is Colbean. Colbean, as he stood there, right, Gazer, right, boom, bombs away. And from his pocket, he produces.
Here he comes.
Of course he does.
What to you, Kewin, would appear to be just a bit of you're not really sure what it is. It looks like an unidentifiable lump with a bit of like a candle, what appears to be something like a candle wick poking out of it. But he lights it up and he throws it into the room. Shortly followed by a absolutely mahoosive bang as it explodes behind the female assailant, dealing 4 points of damage. She's going to make a reflex save on that one, which she's not going to make. But she takes 4 points of damage from sheer shrapnel in her back as this little bomb which Colby has just produced goes boom. So next up we have Roman. Where's he gone? If you want to roll to hit for me with Roman, cool. I shall find that rock where I put it. Oh my god, it's off.
Mobile.
Roman, the level 6 paladin.
12.
Plus 6.
That's 19.
Okay, yeah, with a 19, definitely hitting the one with the scimitar. 1 point of damage.
Plus one.
There you go. Plus two. So he takes a strike at this man with the scimitar, and it's very much a glancing blow. It only deals a minor amount of damage. You see like a nick appear on his across the bridge of his nose as Roman takes a wild swipe at him, but there's no real significant damage dealt. Okay, so finally, last up.
Does Roman get a second attack? As a level 6 paladin.
No, he's just taking the one. He's had to move forwards as well. So, from the back, this woman who's just taken the shrapnel to her back, she lunges forwards towards you, Kewin. pushing her companion, who's been basically he's on the verge of death, pushing him out of the way. She lunges forwards, and she is going to melee touch attack with a 7 to touch you.
No, 12 touch attack. Oh.
Okay, no. She leans forward to kind of grab you, and her hand is almost wreathed in this blood-red energy as she does so. But as she doesn't touch you, you get this kind of impending chill as her hand whiffs past you, and the spell she was casting fails. Okay, so that is the end of that round. Caddo and your Cathars, what are you doing?
We shall delay.
Okay.
Sorry, mate. I remembered this time.
Thank you so much.
Okay, Elora.
Right. Elora is going to pop back up between the castellations there.
Yep.
First thing she's going to do is, surprise, surprise, she's moving her defenestrating sphere.
Okay.
She's going to move it onto the next poor unfortunate that seems to have taken up the post of pulling the lever, because she wants to discourage people from taking up that position.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Right, same process again, roll your 3d6.
Yep, 3d6.
He's going to make a fort save.
He's going to make a fort save, which is a 16, fort partial 16.
Okay, so you are going to deal the damage, so you're going to deal how much?
That's 12 points of damage initially.
12 points initially, okay. He does manage to stay on his feet, but he's still, does that mean he gets thrown into the air?
Yeah, that still happens.
That still happens?
Creatures that fall prone must then succeed on a second fort save or be swept up by the sphere. So he stays on his feet, but he's got to make a second fort save to save being thrown into the air.
Okay. 6. Not going to happen.
Oh, that's a shame.
Okay,
right.
So
how high is he going?
How high?
How high? He's going 65 feet into the air, this dude. Oh no, sorry.
What are you doing?
No, 1d8. No, you threw
d8.
A d8. It was
I'm
a 5.
I'm getting excited.
50. You got a 5.
That's 10 feet into the air.
God, that's the world's hardest dice to read. It is indeed 10
feet. It's 10 feet into the air.
With 5 points of damage.
Okay.
Okay, so, yeah, you roll this sphere into him. He gets battered around. He's able to brace himself. But then on the updraft, he just gets flung into the air. And he only goes 10 foot high. You hear kind of, as he goes. Before he lands back down, landing in what appears to be a rather painful heap. Roll your die. Roll your d6. Go
d6.
For it. Roll it. Roll it.
Where's he gone?
4. Wherever location 4 is.
Yeah, and he actually lands kind of in front of the catapult. Just directly in front of the catapult. He lands in what looks like a rather painful, crumpled heap. Taking another 5 points of damage as he does so. And he kind of groans on the floor and rolls before he kind of rolls and begins to stand up again. Okay. So, are you doing anything else?
Yes. She is going to go with... she's going to go with Lightning Bolt again.
Okay.
She's going to go with another Lightning Bolt.
How many of those do you have?
I've only got a couple more.
Good.
Lightning Bolt, again, she's going to go on to the catapult. So we're talking 8d6. So, okay, we're just gathering dice. I should have got this ready. Thank you, darling. Brilliant. Oh, nice. 12, 17, 18, 26, 29... 32 points of damage on the catapult. Smoking. It's going to melt a bit of metal and stuff.
Yeah, you see more fires erupt. More of this wood is actually blackened and charred. And the fires take a little longer to put out this time. But yeah, you've dealt quite a bit of damage to this catapult now. But not enough to kill it. Okay, so Caddo acting at the same time. What are you doing?
Are the two bosses clearly identifiable?
Yeah, I mean, when you look into the crowd, they appear to be wearing slightly better armour, slightly fancier armour. You know, the one has got a big plumed helmet on, the other one's astride a horse. They look, yeah, they're fairly recognisable, yeah.
So I'm going to tell my Cathars to continue to pepper the archers,
okay.
But I'm going to go for the man on horseback.
Okay.
So we'll start with 15 plus 11. We'll start with 26 to hit.
Yeah, that's definitely going to hit.
Nice.
Most definitely.
We're going to do 7 to him to start with.
7 points to him, okay.
Second crack at him. That's 25.
Nice. Yeah, that is going to hit.
Another 7.
Okay, cool. Okay, so how much was that?
So four, 14 in total.
Okay, perfect. Right, so you, in the crowd, you find the man on his horse. He is shouting at people. The horse is stamping up and down, champing at the bit. And you very quickly line up a shot and you're able to fire 2 bolts away. And they're pretty solid hits. They land in kind of his right arm. You see his right arm go limp as it drops off the reins, and he leans forward, clutching it. And you've dealt quite a bit of damage. You've probably disabled that arm for quite a while. Meanwhile, your Cathars begin firing at the archers on the houses to the left, to your left, so these couple of houses. And as they fire, you see that the pair, which are not furthest away, but the pair kind of one in the middle, the two middle pairs.
Well, so 3 and 4.
Yeah, 3 and 4. They take quite a couple of hits. Again, more glancing blows, which force them to dive for cover. But 5 and 6, who are kind of closer to the church, they get absolutely peppered with arrows, and they both fall to the ground. One actually tumbles off the roof. Quite artfully, he kind of goes sideways and then bounces off one of the canopies on the bottom of the shop and bounces off onto the ground. But yeah, they're both down. They're out of the fight. They are dead.
So there's 7 left, but of those 7, 4 have taken quite a bit of damage. Okay.
Yeah. In fact, 5 of them have.
Oh, which one have I missed?
1, 2, 3, 4, and 7 have got overtaken damage.
Right, okay.
Okay, so is that the end of your turn, Caddo?
Yeah, that's two bolts away is a full round action.
Okay, the remaining archers that are on the rooftop will actually now vacate their positions. They've been taking too much fire. They're all going to kind of, they're going to flee. They're going to climb down from the buildings, and they are going to join the crowd at the bottom in this kind of big area in front of the church. Okay, Ogvar.
Hello.
You're up next.
Okay. So, I've got one poking his head over the top.
Yep.
Is that correct?
Yep.
You're like playing a giant game of whack-a-mole. Little head pops up, yeah. And you shoot at it.
So, first thing Ogvar will do, would talk into his speaking stone and say to the rest of anybody else on the end of the line. Yeah, and tune it in. Say, there seems to be still people coming over the wall at the back. I'm keeping control of the situation at the moment, but they just keep coming. Right? And at that, he will let 2 arrows off at the... Well, 1 arrow to start with, the chap poking his head over.
Yep, okay, about to hit.
Okay. 15.
15 will hit.
Ooh, ace.
Roll your damage.
9 points of damage.
9 points of damage. Nice.
Is he still up, is he?
Yes, he's still up. Well, yes.
Okay, he would try and finish off with a second shot then.
Okay, roll to hit.
That'll be a 16. No, it'll be a...
14 plus your...
20. 20.
That will hit.
You've remembered you're getting +2 on all range attacks at the moment because I cast a spell on you.
Oh, no, that'll be more than that. That'll be 22, though.
it's still going to hit, surprisingly enough.
That'll be another 9 points of damage.
Okay, yikes. Yeah, that's pretty good. So, yeah, your first shot kind of almost glances off the side of his helmet, and his head bashes to the one side of the force that's hit. You can tell it's probably knocked him bandy, and you can see trails of blood starting to form from his temple. Your second shot again does the same kind of thing. It's this helmet which he's got on his head is surprisingly difficult to breach, but you can actually see kind of a big kind of gouge leading backwards on the helm, where you've sliced through it, the arrow sliced through it, and you can see just more blood kind of trailing down from under his helm, dripping off his jaw. Okay, are you doing anything else?
I'm just waiting to hear if I get a reply from anybody over the speaking stone.
Yeah, you don't get a reply at the moment.
Okay,
so this main force in the area, they are rallying now. They can clearly see the amount of damage that is going on this front door, and they begin to very slowly shuffle forwards. It's not a full march, but it is a very slowly kind of inching forwards towards the door. Okay. Esther and the Cathars behind the door, again, they are just stood there, they're prepped, they're waiting. Esther's trying to jolly them up a bit, give them a bit of cheer, give them a bit of oomph. Obviously, they cannot see what exactly is going on outside the church. So they are just stood there waiting, weapons ready. Okay, and the infiltration team at the back. You've got one which is currently not entangled.
Yep.
And you've got three which are fully tangled, one which has just got his head peeking over the wall.
That confirms what I've got, yeah.
Okay. So the one playing Twister, he's going to attempt to get out of there. So he is not entangled. Is that just half movement for him, or does he have to make a check?
I assume so, yeah. Is he still in the area?
Yes.
I think he has to hold it. Wait, Mr.
Peter. Right, well, in the meantime, the three which are tangled, they're all going to make various escape artist or strength checks.
Okay.
So with a 2, that's a no. With a 5, that's a no. And with a 9, that's still a no.
So if you enter the area, you have to do the reflex save again.
Yep. Okay, but if he's just in the area, is he just moving at half speed?
Grassy, bloody, blah, blah. Creatures in the area or those entering the area hold fast, causing them to become entangled. The creature can break free and move half speed by using a
full round action to make a DC 20 strength check.
The creature that succeeds a reflex saving check is not entangled and can move at half speed, yeah.
Okay, so this one who's not entangled, he's going to slowly start making his way, picking through the branches. He's going to make his way towards the door.
Hold on.
Each turn on your turn, the plants once again attempt to entangle all creatures that avoided being entangled in the previous turn.
Okay, so he would have had to make a reflex save.
Yeah.
Which was, what's the reflex, DC?
So it's 10 plus 1 plus 1.
Okay, so 12. Okay, so yeah, he is actually going to make that.
Okay.
So he would have been free anyway, so he's going to make his way out very slowly as far as he can get. Which,
okay.
What's the range of the spell?
It's a 40-foot radius, so
yeah,
it's 80
okay.
foot across.
So, yeah, so he's not going to make it out easily, because basically the entire garden is kind of a bit of a jungle at the moment.
Nice.
So he's going to slowly start picking his way up towards the door of the church. Okay, and the one over the top of the wall, he is actually going to slither over and fling himself down. He's going to attempt to tumble to eliminate the damage, which he is not going to do. So he's going to take a d6 of damage, which is going to kill him off as he lands on his head. he's got this blood dripping down his face, and he just kind of heaves himself chest over the wall, he just slides head first, attempts to kind of tumble it, and then just kind of lands straight on his head. You hear the kind of crack of bone breaking. And yeah, he just goes limp.
That's the one from
the one you've just hit in the head.
A bit of torch in the head.
So
yeah.
Can I shout at them?
He's got a square.
Go for it.
So I keep telling you, if you would all know, bugger off, I'd be mightily grateful.
Over the top of the wall, you see a middle finger appear as yet another one climbs up.
Oh, you've got to give him an opportunity attack.
Go on, then.
Make me a persuasion check. I've got to have a persuasion check. Is that one?
Save at the front. They're in a queue. Take a ticket.
Persuasion.
You can go
up. Tell you what, we're gonna have a roll off. If you roll higher than I do, he gets a free one.
4 with a.
No. Just straight roll. Just straight d20. If you roll higher than I do, he gets a free shot. Ready.
Natural 20.
Oh!
You get one shot at the finger.
Oh my God.
You get one shot at the finger. Make it good.
Oh, it went on as 20 and then just rolled back. 14 plus 7. Yeah.
It's going to hit anyway. Yeah. Roll your damage. He's losing that finger.
Impale the finger to the wall.
8 points of damage.
8 points of damage. Bloody hell.
That's funny.
Okay, so yeah, you see this guy as you shout, he appears, he sticks his middle finger up, and then you just very quickly just, and his finger is just kind of gone. It's been taken off.
Like I said, bugger off.
Gotta hope he's not an archer. Hello, yeah, he might get away with it with one finger.
Okay, so that was the infantry.
He's not playing piano again, though, is he?
Brilliant.
Okay. Or picking his nose.
He's not going to be able to do that one, is he, anymore?
Okay, so, top of the round, catapults. I say catapults.
Catapult.
Hang on, there was an S on that.
Yeah, I noticed.
Okay, as it's already sighted, we don't need to make it, well, I don't need to make a check to make sure it's sighted up. So, very quickly, full round, as a full round action, this guy who's on the floor, he is heaved himself up off the floor, he is back on the firing handle. Again, you see this entire process of stone gets loaded up into the basket. The commander is shouting, the crew chief is shouting at the men. They are winching it back. You hear the kind of the clunk, 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 clunk as the arm is winched back and loaded up. And very quickly, he points at the door, fire! And the young lad on the handle releases, and this big boulder flies free at the door, dealing 4, 10, 13 points of damage. Yeah, and you can all feel the bang, you all hear the bang and the sound of splintering and breaking wood. From inside, Esther would be able to see, as the boulder struck, the inner bar, this big oaken beam which holds the door in place, snaps in half, spraying shards of wood and massive splinters over her and the Cathars inside. They take no damage from it, but they are just covered head to toe in splinters. She probably picks out a big shard, which is as long as her forearm, out of her cloak, and just kind of throws it to the floor. The doors themselves are now, all of the stuff, all of the barriers, the barricade they've built up behind it has been shoved several feet inside. The doors are now partially open. There is a gap several inches across, wide now in the door where it's opened and been forced open. And you can actually, she can actually see from the inside that one of these, the way these doors are constructed, they're two big kind of traditional arch doors. The planks of wood which form it, the one plank of wood on the one side has actually been broken and now actually hangs free inside, leaving a big, big gap about 2 foot across in the door where it's been broken open. It's taken a massive blow and it's not looking great. And actually, Alora and Caddo up at the tower, you would probably feel the impact. You might actually have to make me a balance check, both of you.
Well, that's handy. 17 plus 2. 19.
Oh, fuck.
Not so good.
That was a nat 1 plus 6. 7.
Okay, so Caddo, you're fine, but Laura, you're probably actually driven to your knees.
Well, I've kind of ducked down behind
the parapet
anyway.
Yeah, well, you'd have lost your balance and been driven down to your knees by this impact.
Okay.
It's quite a significant impact. Okay.
Right.
Cue in. The half-transformed were-creature in front of you. He is in a horrific state. He is going to turn and attempt to flee. Make me an attack of opportunity.
Always good.
That 20? Plus.
Roll to confirm the critical.
13 plus 15, 28.
You can earn the critical. Okay, so roll damage. You're going to have full damage on the first one. Roll your damage again to see how much.
Leave him in half. Come on.
10, 3 plus 5 is 18.
18 points of damage. Describe it for me.
Like I said, I've made a cross
on the the rat, and as he tries to flee, I push my sword forward right into the center of the cross,
shanking him
right into approximately where his heart would be.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, he lets out this ungodly screech, this as he dies. And yeah, he falls forward onto his knees, falls off your sword, and just splats onto the floor. And you see a growing pool of blood around his body. Okay, the other man.
Scimitar.
Yep, with the scimitar. Seeing you deal this damage to his companion, takes another swipe at you. With a 22 to hit.
Hit.
Okay, nice. And then we get a d6 plus 1. 4 points of damage to you as he deals a kind of it's a very shallow glancing blow. But he deals this blow across, and it probably skates across your armour, but just catches some skin somewhere and just nicks your skin. Okay. Kieran, what are you doing?
I'm going to look at Scimitar Bloke. I'm going to go, really? But I'm going to notice that the magical aura of the evil female...
Yeah.
And I'm going to go with, how far away is she?
She is up in your grill. She is like 5 feet in front of you.
Okay then, but I can still use Smite Evil.
Yep.
So that's an extra, okay. Can I use it on my second attack or only on my first?
What, Smite Evil?
Yeah. Because it's only one attack, isn't it?
Yeah, it will only cover your... whichever one you choose.
I'll use it on the second one, please.
Second one, okay.
And the first one... we say that's a 9?
That's a 9.
So that's 24.
To hit?
Yeah.
Yep, that's going to hit.
With... Well, that's only for 7.
Okay.
And then I'm going to use Smite Evil... which then makes that 11. With a 21.
That's going to hit.
And that's 8 plus 5, so that's 13, plus a d10, plus a d8. So that's 25.
25 points of damage.
Yeah.
In total, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, nice. So yeah, you lay into her with your blade, and you can feel this as you use your Smite Evil. You can feel this this intense effect, as clearly she has got some very evil aura around her, which is not reacting well to your overwhelming goodness. Okay, so next up we have Colbean. Colbean looks at you, Q, and he goes, right, Geezer, I reckon I'm probably needed to do a bit more damage in a widespread area, right? So, good luck, Geezer. And off he goes. He turns and he runs, and he turns left back up towards where Esther and the other Cathars are up at the front, leaving you and Roman to deal with the other two creatures down here. Okay, Roman himself, he is going to attempt to hit the guy with the scimitar. So if you want to roll for Roman.
11.
Yeah, no, that is not going to hit. Roman makes a swing at this man with the scimitar, but it whiffs past. The guy is able to dodge out of the way in time. Okay, and from in front of you, Kewin, the woman... She is again going to come towards you with her hand outstretched.
She wants to feel you.
Rolling a 15 to hit on a touch attack.
Yep.
That hits. Nice. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Lovely.
Nice, amazing.
Okay. So this clawed hand, so shrouded in this kind of red mist, touches, it smacks onto your chest, and you hear the sound of her nails scratching over your armour. And 4, 8, 9, not as good. You take 9 points of damage, and she gains 9 points for herself.
Ooh.
Okay, so next up we have Caddo, Cathars, and Elora.
Elora, all the archers have buggered off. Cathars, aim at the bloke on the horse. So I'm also going to aim for the bloke on the horse. So we're now going to a whole volley of arrows at bloke on horse.
Okay, so roll to hit.
All right, so first attack on bloke on horse is 25 to hit.
Ooh.
I'm guessing that hits him on a horse.
Yeah, that's going to hit him, yeah.
Oh, that's only 5 points of damage initially. So 5 points of damage first time. Oh, that's not as good. 15, will that hit him?
That will hit him, yep.
Oh, that's alright then. That's another 8 points of damage. So 13 damage in total.
Okay.
And then the rest of my archers as well.
Yeah, so they hit with a volley of arrows. Aloes? Arrows.
Yeah, we've been firing aloe vera at him because we thought his skin was bad.
I'm going to throw aloe vera at you in a minute. Yeah, so you, as you call for your Cathars to strike this commander on his horse, you release your own bolts, and they release a absolute a magnitude of arrows at him themselves. And these arrows flying through the air, they pepper the ground around him and pepper him. His horse screams in pain as it's also hit by a couple of arrows. But he himself falls backwards off his horse, crashing to the ground, dead.
Excellent.
Okay. You doing anything else, Caddo?
Guys, I've killed one of their leaders.
Right. Elora.
Right, so I'm...
Don't break it.
I'm on my knees, aren't I? So is it an action to stand up?
No, you are still squatting. It was just... You know,
oh, okay.
It's just your balance, because obviously you felt this hit's gone up through the front.
So Elora's going to bob up between the castellations again. She's going to sight the catapult. Having known, she would have realised that what's happened, presumably, with the... She would assume that obviously something catastrophic has just happened to the front door, even though she can't see it.
Yep.
So she's going to move her defenestrating sphere once more. She's going to go back to the guy who didn't learn his lesson in the first place, who retook up his position. And she's going to say, oh, right, that's it. This time I'm having you. So
3d6. It's not going to stand upright this time.
9. That's a 10.
10 points of damage. Okay.
That's 10 points of damage, and then he needs to do a reflex save.
Yeah, he failed his fortitude save.
He failed
his fortitude save, so he's driven to the ground.
So okay, so he's driven high? To the ground. Let's just figure out how high he's going.
D8.
He's going 30 feet into the air this time.
Now put it in this pile, because you're going to need it again in a minute.
30 feet in the air this time.
3d6.
Falling damage, 6, 3, 5, 8, 9, 10. That's 11, but another 11 points of damage.
Okay, so as this sphere heads towards him, you see him go, no, as he turns and attempts to run away, and it batters him. He is smashed into the ground with a sickening crack, and then his limp corpse is thrown 30 foot into the air. And make me a
d6. That's 2. He will land 2 squares from his original position.
He lands basically on top of the already dead firing operator.
He's producing a pile of catapult fires.
He's making a stack. His limp corpse is tossed 30 feet into the air, and he comes crashing back down with his predecessor in the street behind. He is dead, most definitely dead.
Okay. Then she's going to turn immediately and she is going to target the catapult with a sound lance.
Okay.
So fortitude save 16 for half damage, but as it's a catapult, it doesn't get one, right? Correct? Yep. Okay. Just making sure.
Okay,
so 8d8 sonic damage. That's crap. Oh, look at that. Three ones. That's three. No, four. That's four. Five, six, seven, 14, 15. Didn't roll well. 20 points of damage.
Bastard.
We've got four ones in that lot. Five ones in that lot.
Yeah, I think you've still done what you wanted to, though.
Have I?
Bastard. Don't like you.
And she watches what happens as it hits its target.
Yeah, again, you see as your sound lance, this invisible lance with this wave of sound, this spear of sound, strikes, it streaks towards the catapult, and again, it almost kind of explodes, and this force smashes the catapult, pieces fly everywhere. The crew just about get out of the way in time, but pieces of this catapult fly everywhere, and debris is scattered all around. And in the distance, you hear a rumbling.
No, you don't.
You hear many rumblings.
Yeah, you hear a horde of rumblings.
You hear a thunderstorm.
It's just splintered.
It's busted. It's exploded all over the place.
Oh, Kero, done it. It's gone. Second one's gone.
Whee!
And that's all she can do this turn, because that's all her movements and stuff done.
Okay. So, the archers have rejoined the main force, so they're no longer in the initiative order. Ogvar, in the back garden, what are you doing?
So, have I got anyone on top of the fence at the moment? Fence being a wall?
No, the guy who was nearest the wall has just lost his middle finger.
Just this bloke.
So he's near the wall, he's not on the wall.
No, so he literally all you could see was his hand poking above the wall.
Okay.
He's not actually over the wall yet. You can take a shot at his hand if you want.
You've already
had his finger.
You've got the bloke who you've not entangled, trying to make a run for it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so actually he needs to make a reflex save, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
So it needs to be above a 12. Is it 12?
Yes.
It's an 18, he's still fine.
Okay.
But the others are still entangled.
Okay, that's excellent. So, yes, I shall try and, Mr. on the floor, I shall try and attack him, the one that's trying to get away.
Okay, yep, so roll to hit.
Okie dokie. Where's my d20? There it is. 20. Not natural.
That will most definitely hit, yep, roll your damage.
Okie dokie. That'll be 5 points of damage on the first attack.
5 points of damage, okay, yep, you land a pretty solid hit into his upper arm. He yells in pain, but he's still twisting and trying to get out of the entanglement here.
Okay, so the second shot goes off at him, and that is a 18.
Yeah, that's going to hit.
And then that's going to be another 7 points of damage.
7 points of damage, wow, okay, yeah. You land a shot into his leg, and he tumbles down. He is now prone on the floor, clutching his thigh as your arrow is embedded into it. Okay, and you know what? They are going to make a morale check, I think. Bloody hell.
Do you want one of our dice trays, Jas?
No, that's fine. Don't worry about it, that's fine, I'll find it in a minute. Yeah, with a morale of 4, morale of 4, there we go, we just leave it there. Okay.
I'll go talking to the speaker, someone's gonna, still taking care of things at the back, but not quite sure what's going on. How is everybody else getting on? It's lonely at the back.
Well done, Ogvar. We've got rid of our archers at the front. We're just trying to take out the leaders, but Elora's destroyed another catapult.
Another catapult? I didn't know there was a first one. Excellent work.
Oh, right, in which case, two. Two catapults she's destroyed.
Oh, excellent.
Okay, so the main force begins to advance. They are 30 foot away from the door. They are going to be moving quite slowly. So they're only going to move up 10 feet a turn at this point. But the main force moves 10 foot up towards, leaving them only 20 foot away from the front doors. There are somewhere in the region of 40 people gathered in front.
Ah, that's all right. That's only five each.
Mm. Yeah, there are roughly 40 people gathered in front.
Fireball would be useful.
Yeah. Don't give her ideas. I don't like that. Okay. And they begin. They move 10 foot up, so they are now 20 foot away from the front doors. Esther and the Cathars inside are running around. They are doing their best to. They are doing their best to kind of shore things up, but it's not easy. The doors are almost sunken on their hinges slightly. They are now stuck on the floor, basically. So they are doing the best they can to figure out a way to slow or impede the attacker's movements. Okay. Ogvar at the back.
Okay.
The team which are trying to get in. You do not see any more people appearing. The middle finger which you chopped off, the hand that was attached to that, disappears behind the wall, and you do not see anybody else coming up. However, the three who are currently entangled will attempt to get out with a 4, a 3, and a 1. They're not
going to work.
They are literally just there on the floor. They are just so trapped and entangled. They have got no chance of getting out at this point. And the one who is on the floor currently, who you shot, he is going to start crawling forwards on his prone. He's crawling forwards prone towards the door. He has no option here. There is no way for him to escape back over the wall. He has got to keep on going forwards.
Okay.
Okay.
Can I shout at them again?
Oh, you're more than welcome to shout at them.
Well, now it seems like your friends have all bunkered off. I suggest you all stay there and reconsider your life choices.
Wonderful. You hear a faint voice. Oh, my mum!
Imagine coming to a fight in your pyjamas.
Dear. Okay. Right. See. So, top of the round. Now that my catapult has been destroyed.
Again.
Rude.
Took some doing, huh?
Queuing in the basement. The fighter.
Scimitar.
The guy with the scimitar. He will again attempt to attack you, Kewin. But this time he drops his scimitar. Drops it completely. You hear it clatter to the floor with a clang. And he begins to change. His body morphs. It elongates. You can see fur starting to sprout on his exposed skin. As he too reveals himself to be some kind of were-creature. He will try to claw at you twice with a 20 to hit and a 18 to hit.
20 hits.
20 hits, the first one hits, okay. So, he is going to, I believe it's a full round attack as well, two claws and a bite. So he deals 2 points of damage with his claws, and then he leans in and chomps at you with a 19 plus 7, a 26 to hit.
Yeah, that'll hit.
Yeah,
the nice. 19 would have hit.
Okay, and then he deals 6 points of damage with his bite. You are immune to disease, aren't you?
Paladin.
Oh, that's right then.
Yeah, so as its teeth sink into you, you can feel this overwhelming evil force attempting to suffuse your veins. However, very quickly, you almost feel it burn through your blood, boil and burn through it, as whatever was trying to affect you does not take hold.
Okay.
Kewin, you're up next.
Biff it.
Yeah, I'm going to hit... I still feel that the woman is the main threat.
Okay.
So I'm going to smack her one.
Okay. Go feminism.
Well, equal opportunity. Ooh. Only a 19.
Only a 19? Does that hit your critical threat range?
No, that's all in.
All in. Okay, that's fine. That will hit. Yes, that will hit.
That's for 9 damage.
9 points of damage. Thank you very much. Okay, there we go.
Well done. I'll get to it again.
Well did. Well, he gets to, yay.
At a 24.
24 will hit, yeah.
That's 10 points of damage.
Yep, nice. Wow. Okay, so yeah, you deal these two massive clouting blows. And you see kind of this, she gets a big cut appears across her bicep. And she gets another big cut appear across the outside of her right thigh as you kind of swing back upwards. They sheet down with blood. She snarls and hisses in pain at you. And again, her features twist up, and you can tell that although she is still human, she is most definitely another were-creature. There is no doubt about it. She may not have turned, transformed herself yet, but there is no doubt that she is another one of these were-creatures. And she hisses at you, and her teeth are... they look strangely long for her face, and they're cracked and yellowed. They're really gross looking. Okay, is that the end of your turn?
Yes.
Okay. Colbean has left the order. So Roman, who is stood behind you, he is going to attempt to take another swipe at this this man. So roll for it for me.
That's plus seven, isn't it?
Yep.
17.
17 is going to hit, yes.
So it's plus one on a D8.
Yep, D8 plus one.
9
points of damage. Nice. Okay. Okay, yeah. So Roman, leaning forwards, he's got this big shield in the one hand, he's got a long sword in the other. He shuffles forward and takes a kind of an overhead kind of cleaving blow. And although this were-creature is able to dart backwards, he still catches down his shoulder and kind of leaves a cut. Neither of these were-creatures are wearing armour. They are both armourless. They're just wearing these very raggedy, badly smelling, dirt-stained clothes. So it's very easy. You see the sword cut through cloth, and it begins to soak up blood. Okay, so the woman in front of you, Kewin, she is going to move backwards. You can make me an attack of opportunity.
26.
It's gonna hit her. Yep. Roll for damage.
13.
13 points of damage. Nice. Yeah. Okay.
She'd be regretting that one.
Yeah, she screeches in pain as you probably catch her across the torso this time, kind of lower ribs, underneath the ribs, and you get this kind of across her belly, and you see you've kind of bit into her side slightly with your blade, and it's dealt some damage, dealt quite a bit of damage there. But as she darts back, she begins to cast. And range touch attack. Let's see what she's got. Big AB plus dex. Okay. Natural 20.
Oh!
She's going to roll to confirm the critical. Oh, no, she doesn't need to because it's magic. You don't get the critical. No. She would have... I reckon she'd have probably got that anyway with a 19. Yeah.
Matches.
Yeah, so from her hands, as she darts backwards, she bends over in double in pain as you cut across her belly. But can I have some D6s, please? 3 more D6.
I'm not giving you mine.
That's just
wrong.
Rude. That's just rude. Okay, as in her hands, you see fire begin to bubble and build. And with a... Your dice suck.
No, my dice is fine. Works for me.
11 points of damage as she releases a bolt of scorching ray straight towards you. And it explodes upon impact, and you feel this kind of this blasting heat as it you know, you're just enveloped in flame. You take 11 points of damage from this. Do we roll for if he's lost an eyebrow? Put it to a vote.
Yeah.
How many have you got?
Two.
Oh, you didn't lose one.
No, yeah, I didn't lose one.
Vote round the table. Who wants him to lose?
Yeah,
either?
I think he should. Yeah, he needs one. Well,
roll. I've got a roll.
It's a paladin.
Yep. So make me a 50-50.
I'll go.
Yeah, it's got a go 50 as well.
Above 49. 51 to 100.
51 to 100. 60. On the dot. You're safe.
Keeps his eyebrows.
All I go with Laura is.
you have to...
Don't forget, my eyebrows are framing orange.
And you're made of Teflon at the moment.
His hairy orange caterpillars have survived. Okay, excellent. Right, okay.
As Ogvar played a game of 10 green bottles with the warmongers on the wall, one soldier's smugness delivered him a single-fingered salutation. In response to the rhetoric, our rugged ranger decreased his digits as five fingers became four, cutting his opponent squarely down to size before addressing his aggressors, recommending that they re-evaluate their life choices. Meanwhile, heading south, a band of brethren storm the basement with their sights set on trouble at hand. As things take an ill-fated turn for the intruders, Colbean boldly introduces them to an incendiary device, and our pair of paladins waste no time in whipping out their weaponry. In the church, Esther employs enthusiasm to rally the battle-hardened holies as the barricades are finally blown apart. Up on high, Kedo and the Cathars continue to closely control the situation, and as Allura unleashes a sonic scream, she resigns yet another once robust catapult to the Selhoff City scrapyard as a suitable candidate for spares or repair. Hey, you made it this far, so lend us your ears for a moment longer if you will. Firstly, we are most humbled that you are enjoying our yarn, and the crew thank you from the bottom of their hearts for your patronage. Producing this podcast is incredibly hard work, and as such, if you would like to support us, there are a few ways in which you could really make a difference. Sharing links to friends and family helps to spread the word, so others like you can find us, and in turn they too can enjoy the show. Equally helpful is leaving a 5-star review on Spotify and any other streaming services, which will help us immensely.